Romans 11:33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Another translation says, how unfathomable, how we can't even imagine it. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Sometimes we get it in our mind that oh, I got this figured out. Or, yeah, you know what? I really know what God wants. No, can I tell you? On our smartest day, on our best day, on our sharpest day, we don't have a clue of what God really wants. All we can do is look in his word and get a little bit of a taste of an understanding of the direction that he wants us to go. And then, of course, if we're crucifying our flesh on the altar and we're spirit led, we start feeling the leading of the Spirit. But at the end of the day, how unsearchable, how unsearchable are his decisions, as one translation puts it, and his ways past finding out. Oh, we are blessed. And tonight I just want to talk to you for a few moments on this simple topic, deep places. Deep places. Would you help me pray tonight? God, help us tonight that we'll hear from you. Lead me, God, these fragile, humble lips of clay. Incapable, oh God, of really spreading what you have for us without your help. God, I pray that you'll speak to us. I pray that we'll hear from you tonight and that your heart can reach our ears and our mind and our hearts, and it'll get a hold of us and it'll change us. We give you the honor, glory, and powerful praise and worship. Everything belongs to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give it all to you. You may be seated. Amen. You know, fishermen are out to catch fish, obviously. Now, there's some fishermen that aren't really intent on catching fish. There's some fishermen that are just out there to relax. There's some fishermen that they really don't care if they catch fish or not. They're just trying to get away from the busy pace of life, or perhaps somebody in their life, or whatever the case is, or the cares of life. And sometimes they're just trying to escape, and they just want to soak up the rays of the sun. And they're really not so concerned whether they catch fish or not. And I've noticed that those fishermen, calling themselves fishermen, they'd like to catch some fish, and I've been there, where you just want to get away and relax, and those fishermen are not particular, necessarily, about where they fish, because it's not necessarily finding a certain fish or catching a certain kind of fish. It's not about studying where the certain fish that they're seeking is. It's just about enjoying what's around them in that environment. But there are other fishermen that when they go out to the river, they're looking for certain fish. They don't want just any old fish. If they're looking for trout, if they're looking for brown trout, they're going to be very particular on the kinds of lures that they use or bait. They're going to be very particular on perhaps the test of the fishing line or the weight, if you will, or the strength of it. They're going to be very particular about the kind of rod that they use. They're going to be very particular about the methods of how they cast and where they cast. But one of the things that they're going to be very, very, very particular about is exactly where the line goes, or should I say the actual hook ends up. And the reason is is because if you go out to a river, you and I look at it from the land and all the river kind of looks the same. Oh, there might be rocks and rapids and changes and so forth and all. But really, it all kind of looks pretty even and level to us from our view. But if you could somehow just sink down and you could just get like a pair of goggles and get right below that water line, and if the water was clear enough and you could see what's underneath the water, you would realize that the bottom of the river is not all the same like the top of the water might look, but it's some places are higher than others, some places dip down, some places might curve this way and that way. But there are particular places in that river where the bottom it goes up and down, but all of a sudden you'll see a place to where there will be a deep spot, a hole, if you will, in the bottom of the river that sinks way down. And it might be a certain area of the bank, and there might be rocks or there might be certain plants that grow there. But in the depths of the river, in the deep part of that river, there are fish that you'll find that like to hang out in the deep water. Those fish, though they might pass by in the shallow part, though they may not, it's really where they want to be. They want to hide into the deep part of the river. And there's certain fishermen that understand this, and the fish that are in the deep part is the fish they're looking for. So if those fishermen are going to search for a place to fish, they're going to look for the deep places. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, our walk with God, how many times does the enemy try to get us to just get out there in the lawn chair, so to speak, and not really care where we're at when we're talking about the river? Can I say that God's river, the river of life, the rivers of living water, are not just any old river. It's not just any old water. But can I also say that there are many people that are consider themselves to be Christians, and I'm not out to judge or question somebody's walk with God, but there are some people that are truly living in their Christian journey. They are living in the shallow places of the river. They're not really concerned with a whole lot except what's around them and enjoying the things around them. Sitting there and relaxing and kind of escaping from perhaps other things in life, but they're not really particular. There are other Christians that say, you know what, I really want to dig in and I really want to get into this experience. And so those fishermen, if you will, or Christians, could I say, they're going to be looking for something that's got a little bit more depth to it. But there are some Christians, and I believe this is where God wants every human being to get to, every Christian to get to, everyone who considers them a follower of Christ. He wants to get them down into the deep places, because the experience of the depths of eternal life and the depths of this river of life are like no other place. In Ephesians 3 and 17, it says that Christ may dwell. Now, the word dwell means live or abide. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may live in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend or to grasp with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Can I say that there's a whole lot more to this depth of God There's a whole lot more than what we see on the surface. There's a whole lot more than what we'll just find on the internet. There's a whole lot more than what the fella doing the podcast has. The true riches of God is unfathomable. It is unsearchable. And if you and I are going to really get down into the depths, we're going to have to be sold out. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Oh, think about that. You know, sometimes we've read things and we get a handle on it, as we call it. We get a grasp on it, and we feel like we understand it very clearly. And then sometimes we decide that we want to go find somebody who doesn't see it like we do, so we can pick a fight with them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I say that I'm just telling you, I believe there is a time and a place to stand firm and to communicate the difference of what you believe than somebody else. I'm telling you, we have an obligation to do that. If somebody believes that lying is okay, we might, if the Spirit leads us, we might just have a little disagreement, you know, have a nice disagreement with them and try to show them that that's not what the Bible says is okay. So I'm saying that there are times and places where we might get vocal, but by and large, we spend all too much time looking at others and figuring out what they don't believe that we do believe and trying to figure out how we can change them. I just believe that there's way too much of that in Christianity across the board. And so suddenly now, well, the Methodists are trying to focus on beating the Baptists out, and the Baptists are trying to beat the Presbyterians out, and trying to gain a bigger church than the other. Can I say that really the bottom line is, if the church could somehow get this idea that it doesn't really matter about what we see, it's what we don't see. That's why this church is founded on prayer. That's why we come here and pray. That's why we seek him with all of our heart. That's why we dig in. It's because it's a whole lot more beyond what our natural eyes can see. And we can't even begin to experience those kind of depths until we get past this flesh. And the only way we're going to get past this flesh is by putting it on the altar. And the only way we're going to get it put on the altar is when we spend time in prayer, because this flesh does not like to spend time in prayer. Oh, I think it's so important to study the Word of God, read the Word of God, and I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that it's our roadmap, it's our GPS, and we have got to learn everything we can about the Word of God. But I'll tell you, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people. And I'm just pointing this out because we've got to understand that we can't just follow the crowds, but we've got to get it for ourselves. There are a lot of people out there that know, they've read this Bible inside out. They can spout off verses. They can tell you the archaeological tie-ins with the chronological event patterns of things in this Bible. Blow your mind. But they don't know how to dig down and find a Holy Ghost prayer meeting to where pretty soon you're praying in the Holy Ghost and the Spirit is making intercession for you. Oh God, as important as it is to study this Word, we've got to make sure that we don't just go through YouTube University and try to learn the Word of God, that we don't listen to Pastor Google all the time and what he says needs to be, but that we get on our face, so to speak, before God, and we say, God, I'm going to read your Word, but I've got to connect with you, because if I'm not connected with the author, then what I'm reading is not going to make sense, because you've got to reveal it to me. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ, we think sometimes we've got a handle on, it passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ezekiel 47. I'm going to read several verses here. Now, I'm going to read these. As you know, King James Version is my go-to. That's my foundational version. That's the one that I prefer. That's the one that I trust the most. However, I do on occasion look at other translations. And sometimes those translations might put something in a little bit more modern day plain English so we can understand. But can I say we got to be real careful, because sometimes there's some translations out there. It puts it in modern day English, all right. It changes the message. We got to be really careful about that. But I'm going to be reading this one today from the NET. And this is where the prophet, the Lord is trying to show him some things and let him see some things for the benefit of God's people. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. I noticed that water was flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from under the right side of the temple from south of the altar. He led me out by way of the, brought me around the outside of the outer gate that faces toward the east. And I noticed that the water was trickling out from the south side. When the man went out toward the east, and Ezekiel's watching this in his vision. When the man went out toward the east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured. I'm going to go with the translation that they have here. It doesn't, you know, 1,000 cubits isn't necessarily perfectly this number, but for sake of what we can understand, he went out more than a quarter of a mile. And he measured out that far, 1,000 cubits or 1,750 feet. And then he led me through water, which was ankle deep. Now, you and I, we've walked through water that's ankle deep. Maybe you go down to the lake or the river and you step down in it and it's kind of ankle deep. Or maybe you go little kiddie pool if you've got little kiddies playing and you step into the water and it's not much water there because they're pretty young and you don't want them to drown, so you just got a little bit of water and it's just ankle deep. So this man, he says, took me out there and the water that he was taking me through was ankle deep. Again, the man measured another 1,750 feet or 1,000 cubits or quarter of a mile, and he led me through the water, which was now to my knees. It was knee deep. Once more, he measured the same distance again, another quarter of a mile, if you will, or over a quarter of a mile. And he led me through the water, which was now waist deep. Do you see what's happening? Ezekiel, in his vision, is venturing farther and farther out into this river, this water that starts out and it's not very deep, and then it gets deeper, and the farther he goes, it gets deeper and deeper. Again, the man measured the same distance again, and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and it was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I had returned, I noticed a vast number of trees on the banks of the river, on both sides, trees. And the man said to me, "These waters go out toward the eastern region and flow down into the Rift Valley. When they enter the," as this translation puts it, "the Dead Sea, where the sea is stagnant, the waters become fresh." Now, try to get that. When this river, when these waters, they go out toward the valley, and when they get into the Dead Sea, where the waters are stagnant, they don't move. Have you ever seen stagnant water? Have you ever seen water that just kind of, maybe it's a mud hole and it's got water and it's been sitting there a long time? You don't want to drink it. You don't want to get in it. it starts getting algae and starts smelling and stinking. Why? Because it doesn't have fresh water coming in. It's just stuck in one place and it's stagnant. And the man is showing Ezekiel. He said, the waters that you just came through that are like a river, he said, they're coming down here. And now the water that it is entering, that Dead Sea, becomes fresh water. Every living creature that swarms where the river flows will live. There will be many fish, for these waters flow there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the water flows. Fishermen will stand beside it. They'll spread their nets. They'll catch many kinds of fish, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and its marshes will not become fresh. Those are places that this water does not come into. And those places are going to stay stagnant. They are not going to become fresh. And they are going to remain salty. There's no fresh water coming through. On both sides of the riverbanks, every kind of tree will grow for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail, but they will bear fruit every month because their water source flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. What has Ezekiel just seen? He's just seen an image or a picture, a vision that now is representative of the rivers of God. And oh, how often sometimes we become content. Bibles, oh, I don't want to see a river come in here. It stirs and messes everything up. I'm happy with things the way they are. I'm happy with just keeping it the same. I'm happy with not seeing everything moved around or changed, but I want to just see it left alone because I'm happy with the way it is. But when water does not have freshness flowing into it, suddenly now it becomes very, very stagnant. Psalms 1, chapter 1 and verse 1. I want to read 3 verses here. This is, I'm going to read in another translation as well, the NET. How blessed is the one who does not follow the advice of the wicked. Think about this. Or stand in the pathway with sinners. Talking about the one that doesn't do these things is going to be blessed. Does not sit in the assembly of scoffers. Now I want to stop right there and just kind of mention something about those three descriptions here. The advice of the wicked. Oh, how many times are we so quick to listen and accept the advice of someone that's got a bunch of letters after their name? Dr. So-and-so that has spent 15 years studying psychology, and suddenly now, whatever he or she says, we're going to swallow it right up because, after all, look at all of the education and knowledge that they have and the understanding. And so we'll leave that counseling appointment or that psychologist appointment. We'll leave there and we will now just take everything they say and we'll say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to try it because, after all, you're the expert. But oh my, I wonder what would happen if we applied that same swallowing up experience to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God. Oh, I have sat with people. Oh, God, help me. I have sat with people that have come to me and we've talked and I've tried to counsel them and share with them what I really, really believe that the Spirit of God is trying to tell to them. And I have watched as they just shut down because it's not what they wanted to hear. It didn't make sense to them. And so they said, I don't believe that's right.
And it's almost like you can see it in their eyes. They're saying, you're not educated like some are. You're not well versed in the knowledge of this day. And yet you're telling me that I need to stop doing something and switch over and do this. And I have watched as people have rejected it. And I have my heart has hurt for them. And then later you see the direction that they take and you see the devastation of the decisions that they make. Why? Because the preachers figured it all out? No. But I'm going to tell you, whenever God decides to speak through whoever it is, what, I don't care who it is, the man is not, the vessel is not where the glory is. It's the potter that made the vessel. And when the potter begins to speak through the vessel and he gives us information and he gives us direction, oh, we would be so wise to listen. But in today's world, the advice of the wicked, I found it on the internet, it must be true, or stands in the pathway with sinners. Well, you know, I'm at work and sitting at the lunch table in the break room and telling my problems to my coworkers, and they had some great ideas, and I know that it's probably not something that be popular around the church, but it sure made sense to me, so I'm just going to go that way and do it. Pathway of sinners, or sit in the assembly of scoffers. Have you ever seen somebody that it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing, they've got some sarcastic comment for everything? Have you been around those kind of people? It doesn't matter if somebody else does something that's admirable, they're going to find something wrong with it. Well, let me not get stuck there, because we could for a long time, because that's our human nature. That's our carnality. Instead, talking about this blessed one that does not do these things, instead, he finds pleasure in obeying the Lord's commands. Well, I don't know. Let me just say that when I'm walking in the flesh, my flesh does not find pleasure in obeying the Lord's commandments. I'll just tell you that right now. But, oh, when I can get into a good prayer meeting and I can just bury myself and I begin to pray and seek God, pretty soon I feel like I'm reaching out and I'm touching with him. And then the Holy Ghost begins to move, and there's intercessory prayer, and the Spirit is praying things that my flesh doesn't even understand. But I can feel the benefits being built up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And when I get up from there, there's something that has changed. There's something that is different. And suddenly now, it's not up to my flesh to decide whether we're going to obey the Lord's commands. Because the flesh is now just like my pastor says. He says, you got to learn to get the flesh into the back seat and put the Holy Ghost in the front seat and let the Holy Ghost drive. Oh, when we can get the flesh into the back seat and you say, shut up. Sit down and just go along for the ride, because you are not going to be in control. Oh, the difference. We find pleasure in obeying the Lord's command. He meditates. He thinks about. He ruminates on it. It digests it on the Lord's commands day and night. He is like a tree. Think about this. He's like a tree planted by rivers of living water, or by flowing streams. Remember we talked about just a few minutes ago, Ezekiel saw in his vision, he saw trees lying in the banks, and there was every kind of fruit that could grow there. He's like a tree planted by flowing streams. It yields its fruit at the proper time, and its leaves never fall off. He succeeds in everything that he attempts. And as I close, one more time, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. I want to read that again that we started out with. And I want you to think about these rivers of living water and how you and I
this old filthy flesh that we are tabernacling around in is never going to, so to speak, tap us on the shoulder, as it were, and say, hey, how about let's go pray? Or, hey, how about let's go find somebody to tell about Jesus. Hey, let's dig into the word. It's never going to do it. Never. Your flesh is never going to try to grab you and shake you and say, let's go pray. But oh, when we in our spirit grab the flesh and we shake the flesh and we say, you're going to pray, buddy. I know you don't like it. I know you don't want to, but you're going to pray. We're going to read the word of God. We're going to church. And when you get to church, Mr. Flesh, you're going to get out of the way, because I'm going to reach beyond you, my flesh. I'm going to reach beyond you, and I'm going to do things for God. I'm going to reach for him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to open my mouth, and I'm going to magnify him. And flesh, I know you don't like it, but you're not in the driver's seat. Romans, oh, the depth of the riches. You know, we hear that word riches, and we immediately think money. No. Can I say that some of the richest people on this earth really don't have any money or very little to speak of? You say, ooh, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, let me tell you, if it didn't make sense to us, there's one way we can prove it, and that is to go out there and become the richest person in the world and see just how happy we are. No. Happiness does not come through riches of monetary things, of material things, but riches that are going to make us happy, the riches that are going to satisfy, the riches that we're going to enjoy and be thankful that we worked for, are the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. As we all stand, oh, I just want to become a seeker of deep places. Oh, God, help me not to just be comfortable with the way it looks around me. Let me not be comfortable with my settings, but help me to remember that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, God, help me to remember that it's not about what I can see, but it's about what I cannot see. Oh, one of these days, it's all going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it all. These happy days, it's gonna be worth it all. Can I tell you that you and I, we may go through trials, we may go through hardships, we may have family that doesn't like us and causes us heartburn. You ever have, you know, the kind of heartburn from family that all the Rolaids and Tums isn't gonna fix, because it's like heartburn that just won't go away? Oh, can I say that if we can only get to the gate and enter into that city, it's going to be worth everything. It's going to be worth every long mile. It's going to be worth every heartache and every trial. It's going to be worth it all someday. Let's sing it together.
Every heartache and every trial, it's going to be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day. It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day. It's gonna be worth every long mile, every heartache and every trial. It's gonna be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day.
We'll sing it together.
It's gonna be worth
the devil wants
all.
Us to focus,
but we ought to just look at the devil and say, it's devil, get out of my way. It's gonna be worth it all someday. Devil, it's gonna be worth all the push. It's gonna be worth all the sacrifice. It's gonna be worth all the pain and the heartache. It's gonna be worth it all.
It's when gonna I hear him say, well done. It's gonna be worth it all, some beautiful, happy day.
Well, yeah, sing it.
It's gonna be worth it all.
Yes.
It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day. It's gonna be worth every long mile, every heartache and every trial. It's gonna be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day.
One more time.